Myron, over the past year, I've been reading a lot about how much Bernie has been shut out of the national media until recently, and Hillary has gotten that. So it's been a really unfair race, and he's done incredibly well considering that. And Trump is getting even more coverage, which has everything to do, I suppose, with his leading in the Republican area. Has our public media always been this screwed up, this skewed towards particular people? And what controls it? How has this gone over our past century or two?
I think the answer is basically yes. We have always had major corporate media owned by wealthy people in power who have a vested interest in who gets elected to higher office. The difference between now and 100 years ago is that today we have an internet and there are lots of alternative voices out there that can be had if you have access. 100 years ago, when the earning power of Americans began to go up, the tabloids grew in large part because people were able to afford to buy them. And then we had the wonderful growth of progressive journalism during the progressive era called muckrakers. And the middle class increasingly found out about how bad Standard Oil was, how bad the meatpacking industry was. And it created an outcry. And we got progressive legislation. Today, the internet is creating that same outcry. And while the corporate media did not cover Sanders at all, the internet did. I think it's probably a really good example of why the Big Six, and there are only about six conglomerates that control almost everything we hear, read, or see, are really pushing to end what's called net neutrality. And that is so that they can also control the internet access, because that is a direct competition to their monopoly.
So 100 years ago, major media would have been newspapers or other forms of print publication. Radio comes in, I think, in the 1920s, television by the 1940s. So how has this changed how we perceive the political world?
Well, radio really became a feature of democracy, because if you could afford one, you could hear it. And, of course, FDR became famous for his fireside chats, and he could get his message out there. The big corporations, big media corporations of 100 years ago, Hearst and Pulitzer, had a vested interest in making money. And so they actually published the muckrakers. Today, the corporations that control the newspapers are interested in their bottom line. And so in order to make better profit, they have actually cut staff, which is opposite of what happened 100 years ago. And the another issue that we have dealt with since 1949 until the 1990s was the idea that we had a fairness doctrine for broadcast media. And that fairness doctrine was eliminated based on the idea that it violated free speech. And I think that is such an interesting thing, because it put into the hands of the major corporations almost complete control of the speech that they want to keep free. Alternative voices are not heard at all. And then, of course, the internet can fill that void if you have access.
I think you identified one period already where media seemed to be a significant helper to the progressive movement. Have there been particular eras? Is there particular media or time when progressive message was particularly powerful through the media?
You can make a great argument that the muckrakers during the progressive era forced government to become progressive, that is, to actually do something to solve society's ills. Jacob Riis, How the Other Half Lives, alerted people to the fact there was actually poverty. And, of course, we had room for female journalists as well in that whole era. And they did a good job. They really wrote the history. And, of course, corporations always say they're being picked on. And that is rarely ever the case, because they have the money and they have the power. But they don't like it when somebody exposes any practices that they have that can be considered bad. So, yes, the progressive era was driven in large part by very progressive muckraking journalists who exposed the truth. And then we ended up with major change. Four amendments in our Constitution. We only have 27 total, and if you subtract the first 10, that means 17 since 1789. Well, we got almost a full fourth of those amendments from 1900 to about 1920.
And does that include the repeal of the Prohibition Amendment?
No, that goes all the way to 33. So you have 16, 17, 18, and 19. You have the income tax, the direct election of senators. You have the elimination of alcohol, or the attempt, because of the social ill that it was. Then you also have women voting. And all of those things can be traced directly to muckraking journalists.